Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, welcome to The Promised Land, a show about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by Rob Blanchett. Rob, the last thing I did was speak to you, and the first thing I'm doing this week is speaking to you.
The world of football.
I would ask how it's going, but I'm guessing I already know.
Very similar to how it was going when we last spoke, Scott. So, both reflecting off the back of a Manchester United victory. And it's nice to start the working week, isn't it, like that, where we've actually got a win to talk about through the week rather than another defeat. So, yes, a not-so-bad start to a Monday morning.
Big week ahead for United. Got Galatasaray away in the Champions League, which... Do they need to win that, Rob? I mean, like... Do you think they need 4 points from the next two? I know that I won't guarantee them a qualifying place. But they certainly could do with a win, let's just say that.
Well, rather than just talking technically about points, I think they just need to keep winning.
Yes.
They are a confidence team, aren't they, Manchester United? And you know that as soon as there's a defeat, even a draw sometimes, Scott, gets broached like it's a loss, doesn't it, at United? You know, I saw some City fans saying that actually for their game against Liverpool. They drew against Liverpool and they were like, "Oh, it feels like a defeat." I was like, "You don't know what defeats are. You're at the top of the table. You're treble winners. You're okay." But I think for United, yeah, that game in the Champions League, it's imperative you get the victory against Galatasaray. If anything, just to make Galatasaray feel that they haven't got one foot going into the next round. So we all know, don't we, last day of the Champions League, it's Bayern Munich. So yes, I would say you probably need a victory.
I think, sorry, I'm just looking at this off the cuff here. United can't, if United lose, they're out.
Right. So you definitely need to win.
So they can draw. They can draw. But they do have to take at least 4 points from the next two games, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here to look ahead a little bit to that game, a little bit to Newcastle, because we'll be talking about how Man United build their team. Because obviously, I'm sure you caught it if you're listening to this. But we did do an immediate post-match reaction to the 3-0 win at Everton. Talked about Kobe, talked about Garnacho's goal, talked about the problems United have progressing the ball still when teams come onto them. Erik ten Hag did say in his post-match, actually, that after United scored, he said at halftime, you think you won, along those lines. And wow, I can't believe it. These players, again, thinking that they've, you know, and they were, he complimented the way that they came out in the second half after a talking to. The fact that you have to give them a talking to time and time and time and time again, you know, how many times, you know?
It's a funny anomaly in football, Scott, where like the man boys of professional football end up having to be treated like children, because that's the psychology there is at half time. It's like, oh, we've done all right, haven't we? You know, here we are, we've won the game. It's like, well, no, you haven't, lads, and you need to reset. That is part of the manager's job. So I'm glad he kind of said that out loud, because these players do need reminding of it, don't they? Constantly about what they need to do the work Erik ten Hag says every week almost, if we stick to the plan, we're okay. So that's where you are, isn't it? I'm sure they'll be going into training, day off today probably, but they'll be going back into training, getting ready for the next match. And he'll be saying exactly that. He'll be like, you know, you did well, but... And you have to kind of keep that tone, I think, all the way.
One player who did stick to the plan was Kobbie Mainoo. So we'll be talking a little bit more about him, because I'm seeing that we obviously talked about him on the show yesterday. Player of the match for me, player of the match for Rob. Didn't actually get it because Gary Neville gave it to Garnacho for his goal, which was incredible, by the way. But in terms of the general performance, I think keeping it simple, doing what the manager wants, I think Kobbie did it. And more of that, please. And if more players can follow his example, maybe United would be better off. But today, I think we'll look at a general overview. We'll talk a little bit more about Kobbie, because I know that a lot of people knew how good he could be. But there's also a lot of fans, as evidence in the reaction to the game, who didn't actually know too much about him. So we'll talk a little bit more about Kobbie. We'll talk about Garnacho's goal a little bit more as well. I think the way that the show is going to go is more in the direction of reviewing the academy prospects. Mm. We'll bring Hannibal into that. I know you want to talk about Dan Gore, Rob. Mm. But Marcus Rashford as well is struggling. I think he didn't play well yesterday. He did not play well yesterday. He's not played well for most of the season. You can see that there's something weighing him down. And everything that he's doing outside of that penalty is not really coming off at the moment. And I say everything. There were a couple of instances yesterday where that cross for Garnacho at the back post, which went just wide, hit the side net, and, you know, these kinds of things. But he's not looking like he was last season, to say the least. But we'll talk about his form and talk about the academy prospects in general. So that's the direction of today's show, because I think they're going to play a big part in probably the next few weeks and the next few years, obviously, because United have a tradition of bringing through academy products, and it is embedded in the club's DNA. So, subscribe wherever you get your pods and watches on YouTube, the Promised Land and Man United podcast. Like the video, subscribe, leave a comment, and hit the notification bell so you never miss a show. And follow us on social media at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @PromisedLandMU on X as well. Rob, Kobbie to start with then. So he did everything. He kept everything simple. He did everything right. Maybe a couple of things you can pick out, you know, where we didn't exactly get everything spot on. But in terms of, I look at him and I think that there is an example of an archetypal modern midfielder in the modern game who is able to do everything that a lot of other clubs have. And I'm putting Kobbie in a box there of like brandishing him a modern midfielder, but obviously he's got a hell of a lot of talent, and United need to foster that, and United need more of what he's going to bring. And it sounds ridiculous to say kid's 18, 29-year-old, do what he's doing more, you know? But let's talk about Kobbie. Do you want to spitball Rob about him, because anything that you want to mention, you know, how long have you known about him? Youth team player, part of the youth cup run, he's got a couple of goals in that, I think. Mm. We talked about him on the show, I can't remember exactly when, but it's been a while.
Well, I think during that youth cup run, which is obviously what propelled Garnacho to like the edge of the first team, obviously scoring those goals in that run up to winning that trophy. The sleeper hit really was Kobbie. You know, people, we saw Kobbie from the age of like, we've seen him since he was 15, 16 years old. He was always one of the younger bunch of the group, of the youth team. And it was always like, oh, give him a few years and, you know, maybe. Now, that wasn't a few years ago. That was actually quite recently. I think the whole thing, Scott, is that we are a club, haven't we, with the tradition and the blueprint of youth that hasn't particularly produced a lot of successful young players for a long time. So, you know, you talked about Marcus Rashford there. Marcus is probably the most recent one, like in terms of maybe becoming a regular first-team player. You look at Kobbie Mainoo, your question has to be – can this boy be a starter? You know, and I think, again, I could understand a year ago, 2 years ago, people saying, well, we shouldn't be talking about 17 and 18-year-olds in this manner. But, Scott, if they're good enough, you know, you have to let them off the leash. You have to teach them quickly and let them learn on the fly, and you have to push them because they are good enough. And Jude Bellingham is a really good example of that. Now, I know people say Jude is an exceptional circumstances here in terms of a player. He went to a good club in Dortmund, like we said this in our last show.
But like, sorry, I'm interrupting you there. Huh? Remember when they retired his shit?
Yeah, I know. We all laughed at that.
Well, everyone did. Like, I'm not being funny.
We know why. Yeah.
I knew about like how good he would be.
Yeah.
You know, like back then, I spoke to him the week, I interviewed him the week that he moved to Dortmund, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot going on around him and that kind of thing. And you can hype players up quite a bit, but usually there's a reason why. And I think what me and Rob want to say is this has been a long time coming, actually, not just off the cuff.
Yeah, this isn't like pre-season, and let's talk about that, because I think that's where people say it. Yeah, we've said it as well. You know, we know Kobe had a good pre-season and was ready to be in the first team, ready, oven cooked. But the truth is, this has been almost like years in the making. So when we see that debut at Everton and what he did in that performance, there isn't a surprise for me. Like, I watched that, I wasn't surprised, because he just did what Kobe Manu does. That's what he is. He's that kind of player. He's composed. He's intelligent. He can play through the numbers. He can play the 6, the 8 and the 10. And he always looks like the most mature player on a football pitch, Scott. And he's a baby. He's young. But you let these players off the leash. You go do it. So, like you just said there about Jude Bellingham, I think people caught up with Jude Bellingham quite quickly when he went to Dortmund. And obviously, you know, they go to the Bundesliga, don't they? And they rip it up. Like, so now Jadon Sancho did that as well, didn't he? Goes there. You become a huge star very quickly. Your price inflates massively. But it's not like we only knew about Jude Bellingham the day he signed for Dortmund. You know, Jude Bellingham was at Carrington twice with negotiations to move to Manchester United for what was a big fee at the time. People thought 20 million or whatever it was. And I was saying 20 million is like peanuts, like pennies. Pay the 20 million and get him to United. Now, I do also understand that going to Dortmund was probably the right move for him, of course, for his career. But United could have pushed that deal, could have executed it, could have got him to the club. We could then be talking about Bellingham and Manu together as a future midfield. So England will be lucky enough to talk about, have that conversation in the future. I think with Man United, you just said it there, Scott. You know, Kobbie Mainoo is the modern midfielder. Go buy some modern midfielders. Go find them. If you can't produce them at home, then go and look into the transfer market and go and find them, because they do exist at 18 and 19 years old.
And the important thing is, don't buy and block their path.
Mm.
And I think that I'm quite conscious that, you know, Ten Hag has had a plan with Kobe here, because I'm sure, well, I know everyone doesn't really take much stock in preseason, but it was a big thing for me that he was starting matches at the start of preseason.
I agree.
He started against Arsenal, played really well up against Declan Rice. I know it's a preseason match, but you know, that's your testing ground. That's
had him
that's
in his pocket. Yeah. Absolutely had Declan Rice in his pocket.
Played against Real Madrid, got injured. So for me, and I said this on the podcast yesterday, Kobe would have played a hell of a lot more minutes than he has this season had he not got injured already. Yeah. Already. Like, we probably would have been having this conversation about whether he's a starter in the first team 2-3 months ago if he was fit. And I knew this, we both knew this conversation would be coming. He's been capped for England at under 17, 18 and 19 level. He obviously took part in United's preseason. He was a part of the Youth Cup winning team as well. Been at United for a number of years now, but they have always had high hopes for him. And I believe he's made his Premier League debut against Leicester last season. But Ten Hag said yesterday when asked about him that this was carefully planned out. We identified this game as the one that we wanted to test him in. We've made sure he's been prepped and that he's ready, that he's taking on all the instruction. And we spend a lot of time saying these players don't follow instruction. This lad did. And I think when I said at the start of the podcast, why does Ten Hag have to go in at halftime and say, hey, Just a reminder, you haven't won this game yet. Stick to the plan. Keep doing what I'm telling you to do. Don't just lump it forward. You know, think under pressure. Use the ball smartly under pressure, this kind of thing. And we might have more chances. United played a lot better in the second half. But for me, Kobe's a blank canvas. You know, he is something that you can work on. He's not yet been ruined by the engulfing mess that seems to get every Man United player, every Man United signing, all of this kind of thing. But the difference is now this is coming at a moment where, fingers crossed, United are going to change course with how they're planning. So Kobe is, he's been on the fringes for a while, and it's just so encouraging to see that now he's had his Premier League debut, had his Premier League test. He's not going to play 90 minutes of every single match, but I think he's very much in the first team picture now. And for me, it's take him off when he needs to. But if you're giving him the chance and he's taking it, keep giving him the chance.
Completely, Scott. And like you say, he's a blank canvas. So I agree with that. But I also think, you know, he is your work of art now. He's here now. Kobe Manu has arrived and he is ready to play games. And again, this whole thing about 17, 18-year-olds, about kind of wrapping them up in cotton wool, I actually think you need to wrap your veterans up in cotton wool, the Casemiros, the Varans, because they're the ones who get injured every 2 or 3 weeks. And the young lads tend not to get injured because you're physically at your, you know, you're growing and you're going into your peak years in your early 20s. So you're at a really good part of your own physical development. I think Kobe Manu, I think you saw in that game, Scott, 70 minutes, he never at any point looked like he was huffing and puffing. He came off because it was prearranged. They were obviously looking to get 70 minutes out of him. As Ten Hag alludes, you know, this is how management plan for players, is they look into the future and they try and pick out games where they can have a strategy for a certain player to do a certain job. And I think what we saw yesterday, United playing this kind of version of 4-3-3, allowing Bruno and McTominay to play the eight and to move on and, you know, interchange into the 10, that it was really about Manu's mobility in the six and his game playing from there, where your real success came from in this game, is that you had a midfielder that puts the ball on the deck and just, you know, no sweat at all. There's nothing about his game. He doesn't look stressed or strained or worried. Again, only go back a few months or a year ago and think about Fred and think about the things that you would worry about with Fred every single week. It's not that Fred was the worst player on the planet. It's just that Fred, the ball would get towards him, it would bounce off his shin, and you would get counter-pressed. Now, there was a lot of that yesterday. You'd think Everton counter-pressed United a few times, but it wasn't Kobe Manu's fault, was it? So I think here we're talking about, in the immediate future and the long-term future, Scott, is that it's Kobe Manu plus 1 and 2 and 3. Like, Kobe Manu, for me, is going to be in this Manchester United team. And when I say he's arrived, I think he's arrived for good. I don't think you'll be dropping him in and out. I think even if he has a bad performance, Scott, so what? Like, he's learning. You can take it for an 18-year-old. Let him learn on the job because he's better than what you got.
Looks like he's got the temperament as well to be
totally,
to take mistakes. And yeah, hopefully, anyway, I know that we don't know every single thing about Kobe, but it's just the aura that he has. There was a moment yesterday in the Everton game where I can't remember who it was exactly. It might have been Bruno, played a square ball right across the pitch. It was about 60, 70 minutes or something like that. And Everton were in the midst of a press, and Kobe kind of picked it up and really took a heavy touch. But then one Everton player came up to him, he beat them. And then another Everton player came up to him and he just tapped it round him. Cool as you like, cool as you like, cool as a cucumber. And for me, like, I was looking at that thinking, oh God, I've seen this before. And it was one of those situations where if he did get dispossessed, yeah, Everton were in. And it's just, he just calmed everything down. And oh my God, calm down in midfield. How long have we been talking about that?
Totally. And you know, it's funny how I think this is the Twitter age, is that we micro-analyze everything, like even a slightly heavy touch from an 18-year-old. And it's something, and it becomes a talking point because it feels like watching ghosts of Manchester United, all the things that we've been talking about for 10 years, isn't it? But I look at Kobe and I just think, that you have to let him grow, you have to let him off the leash, and you have to teach him. And you have to say to him, do you know what? If you make a heavy touch this week, don't worry about it, because that's not who you are. That's not your game. And we already know that at your age. You know, you're a teenager. Yes, I'm going to talk about it with some of the older players, because I think when you're 28 years old and you're doing heavy touches every week, every game, then that is something that is something... There's like a stigma behind that. Do you know what I mean? Well, isn't it with Kobe? I'm more than happy for him to go and have bad games in the United shirt. If that happens, so what? You know, I feel the same about all the young lads. I include Hannibal in that. When Dan Gore finally gets his proper chance in the team, I feel that about Garnacho, you know, on the left-hand side, is that he scores that fantastic goal. But you know what? If you don't play Garnacho, Scott, that goal never happens. Yeah, that Scott McTominay running onto it, trying to get his head on it, or trying to over kick it into row Z of Goodison Park. So, no, just a fantastic first look for Kobe. And I think that he is, you know, he is absolutely the real deal. And we've known it for a couple of years. We just now hopefully can see it in our first team.
For those of you who might remember, there was a viral clip going around after United won the Carabao Cup where Erik ten Hag put his arm around him. And kind of like, I'm pointing, I'm using my palm here, if you're listening on audio, like pointing round at everything. I don't know, we don't know what he exactly said, but this is what we can achieve. You can be a part of this, keep your feet on the ground, all of this kind of thing. Because United have to, like, as much as we want to criticize United for not having plans, they still nurture talent pretty well. They still do. And as much as like the atmosphere at the club has not been the best over the last few years, they still have a tradition of bringing players through, whether you think those players are good enough or not. I think what United have here is an example of a player that is built for the modern game and could be a part of this team. But like, if he goes as a one club player, I think he can be a permanent. He can be racking up a hell of a lot of appearances for this club.
Do you know what it reminds me of, Scott? And this might be a wild comparison for a lot of United fans, but it's a football comparison. What it reminds me of going back in time is actually when Ryan Giggs broke into the team. And that was that you saw Ryan Giggs at 17, 18, and you already knew that he was better than what we had. Like, he was young, he was raw, he wasn't great every week. And actually, a lot of people will tell you of an older disposition that he did have quite a few stinkers in the United shirt. Like, he really, really did over many, many years. You know, he certainly wasn't perfect on a football pitch. But I think when you looked at Kobe Manu yesterday and what we've seen recently is that he's already just so much better than what we've got. Like, he really is. And you have to run with it and say, well, do you know what? Well, go make your mistakes here on the football pitch where we can see you and see you do it. And we'll build from that. And United did that in that period with Giggs, is that Giggs was part of that 91 team that won the Cup Winners' Cup against Barcelona in Rotterdam. And he was part of that setup. It was him and Lee Sharp. Lee Sharp had come from Torquay United. They were your young players who were better than the others, but you were having to build off them. That's how I see this current crop at United, is that not all of them maybe will break through, Scott, but this is the start of something. If you want to have a youth policy that works, it means you have to play these players. They're not just there to collect the balls in training. They have to be a valid part of your tactics. So Kobe Manu, I think, can be a leader in this team, because he already is in the younger ranks. And he's just so cool, Scott. Like, he plays the game in the way you should play it. And that is, don't rush, be technical, and don't just play long balls because you're not sure what you're doing. And that's a lot of what we see the Man United veterans do, isn't it? Is that they go longer, they kick it long, they just don't really have an inclination of what the game needs. 28, it's difficult to teach that. But 18, you can teach that into teenagers, definitely.
So, Kobe could be part of this team for a while to come yet, and fingers crossed, he keeps improving, keeps his place, and develops into what people hope he could become. Let's move on to Garnacho. Had probably, do you think that was his best moment in United shirt yesterday?
The best moment anyone's had for quite a while.
He'll do well to top that in his entire career, really.
He might never score a better goal again. I said that yesterday. You know, it's just the technicality to score an overhead kick like that, an arching bicycle kick where you're falling away from the goal. Like, he's got no right to score that. I think the XG on the opportunity was something like that goes in 1 in 100 times.
I think that it was 0.09 or something. It's like
nothing.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. like taking a shot from 50 yards. You know, like, it generally doesn't end up in the net. How many times do we see people attempt bicycle kicks? I think the technicality around it is undisputed. I've said in months gone by that United are a moments team. And for me, that was like the ultimate moment to kind of break the ice at Everton in 3 minutes. So it'd be nice if we became less than a moment's team, Scott. Like, we actually did some more constructive stuff. But that goal, you know, it's the goal that people will talk about for years to come. In 10 years' time, we will still be talking about Garnacho's goal at Everton. Were you there? Did you see it? How did you feel when it went in the back of the net? Just a fantastic strike from a player, I think, that's only at the real precipice, the real cusp of what he could be. Everyone thinks of him as a, like, left winger that jigs and dances around and can take people on. I think Garnacho could be world-class. And I, you know, Scott, I've got feelings that he could be a central player one day. I really do. Like, Ronaldo went that route from wide to the middle. I'm not trying to make that comparison. But I think Garnacho in the box, he can finish. Like, this boy knows where the back of the net is. Anyone that saw him at 15 and 16 coming from Atletico Madrid, that was the big takeaway. This boy could be a striker one day. He can finish and he can develop that. I think we're seeing that in the United team. How many goals has he scored now, Scott? Where you go, oh, that was tasty. That was a, remember the Fulham goal where he gets the ball and he gets into the box and he's cool, like Kobe. He's not like slash at it, put it over the top of the bar. He knows his own limitations. He plays within them. So what a fantastic goal. I'm still not having the cross though. I've watched it 10 times since. Delo's cross wasn't very good, but you make what you do of it. That's Garnacho that makes that goal. That goal is all his.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
You mentioned about moments players there, Rob.
And yes.
Yeah, I think United have too many of them. From what we've seen with Garnacho, yeah, he can produce moments, but he can also do the rest of it. But I think one of the, I suppose if we're going to talk about Garnacho and Kobe, like there's a difference between, I think maybe there's a difference in temperament between both of them. Just because, like, Manu is your, he's chill, he's calm, he's all these kind of things. Mm. Garnacho's a little bit more, I think they might need to, and they you saw this after the game, Bruno Fernandes and Ten Hag both doing the job of trying to keep his feet on the ground straight away. And I think that is something that even ever since Ten Hag joined United, remember in preseason, we were hoping, I think his first preseason one, that we were hoping he'd get minutes, and then something happened. Was he late for a meeting or something like that? And
yeah,
obviously they've had to nail down, keep your feet on the ground, keep working hard. You have to work hard. You're not there yet. And that they'll have to do that job a little bit more. But what we see in both of these players is like massive talent, and they'll have to foster it in different ways. But United, as much as you want them to be able to retain the ball and to you know, recycle it and play like the best teams in the world do at the moment, you do need your Mavericks. And I think Garnacho's got that in him. So if he can strike a balance between producing those moments but also doing everything that is required. He's another player that we talked about, you know, when Marcus Rashford will come on to later. He's not been in great form. He's still not in good form. But now what we see is Garnacho's taking his place on the left-hand side.
Mm.
And Marcus Rashford's moved to the right. And to me, Rashford isn't playing well enough to nail down that position, you know, at the moment.
And I think Garnacho is actually the real reason why Jadon Sancho fell out of favour over a period of 12 months. So, like, we could talk about where does Jadon play or where should Jadon play. The truth is that when you look at your stock on the left and on the right, you know, you can assume Anthony on the right-hand side is something that Ten Hag's going to pursue and carry on with over a period of time because of the wage and the fee and everything from Ajax, is that you look at the left-hand side, for me, it's because Garnacho is here now. He's present now. You just said he's a Maverick. I think the thing is, with Garnacho, this is the feedback we get on him, is that he's a really hard worker. He's really conscientious about what he wants to do. Kind of Ronaldo-esque at 17, 18, in the sense that he understands that he's at the start of his journey, but he also understands that he could be really, really good. Like, he already knows. He looks in the mirror, and when he was at Atletico Madrid, people were saying to him, "You're going to be the best player in Spain." So he's been told that, Scott, since he was a baby. Now, he's still very, very young. I still think when you look at Manchester United and the development of the team, we're talking about youth today, I don't think you need to put everything on Garnacho's shoulders. But you're already seeing that he's much better in his defensive work. He's much better in his tracking. He's much better on the ball, I think, technically, than, say, a year ago, where the ball would, you know, fly off him. And he's understanding the game a lot more. You made a comparison there, maybe, with Kobe Manu and the way they are, that Kobe's a bit more chill than Garnacho. The most important thing, Scott, is education. If you can take a player and educate them and say, all right, you do all these things really well, but look at this guy here. Look at that guy there. This is your team. What can you do for everyone? I think the good thing about Garnacho that I like, Scott, is that he's a team player. So he's an individual, but he's a team player. He's still in
We should say he worked really hard yesterday as well, not only in the forward direction.
And he works more. Every time you watch him, there again, those little gains. And we talked about Dave Brailsford and those 1% incremental gains. Marginal gains. Go, you know, 1%, 1%, 1%, trying to get 1% better every time you're on a football pitch or when you train or whatever. Is that I see that in Garnacho. I see that progression, and that makes me feel good. And therefore, you think, yes, play more games. Yes, have the ball more. Now, in football matches, Scott, you're actually more happier when the ball is at Garnacho's feet going into the final third than you are Marcus Rashford. Now, that shouldn't be like that. That's an imbalance there. But it's the truth that when Marcus gets the ball now, you know, you're worried that he'll give it away. And generally he does. I think you see the economy already with a player like Garnacho on the left. So I think only good things for him. I think actually at home, he's got more stability now. Like, he's had a baby recently and all of those things. So that's a big jump for a kid, isn't it? Being a father and those things. You have to, you know, maybe look at the world differently. I made the comparison as well the other day, Scott, to Adnan Januzaj. Is that when Januzaj came into the team, we were all very high on him. We wanted to see him do well. He did well for David Moyes in that first season. But he was a little bit of a playboy away from the scene. And that's what we heard immediately, you know, out and about, clubs, girls, all sorts. And do you know what happened to him? yeah, he's not at Man United anymore, is he? So there you go. He didn't develop. So that does matter, those things. But I think when you look at Garnacho, you look at Kobe, is that you've got these two young lads who are serious. They're serious footballers. And if they're serious, you can then help develop them.
So that's Mainoo done. That is Garnacho done. We'll talk about Rashford in a bit. What about the others, Rob? Anyone else? Because to me, like, and I'm, this is the way I look at it, right? And I'm, maybe this is me being harsh, I'm not sure, but obviously United need to give chances to young players. I think these two are bona fide first team players for a number of years. I'm not sure about the rest of them. I need to see more personally. And obviously some haven't really had their chances yet, but in terms of other academy prospects, Rob, who do you think could go and join them this season, for the rest of the season?
I think the obvious one, of course, is Hannibal. So I get why the jury is out with a lot of Man United fans on Hannibal, because I think you look at the positives and the negatives, and there are still negative parts of the game. I think he's still a little bit rash. His reading isn't always there. But you know what, Scott? At his age group, because he's obviously a tiny little bit older than the real young kids at Man United. He's been out on loan. He's an international footballer already. Is that he still has the fundamentals for me to be a really useful, good squad player. We forget about the goal he scored earlier in the season. You know, we talk about X Factor, you know, that he got the ball from like 20, 22 yards and curled it in the top corner. And that moment, I was there at Old Trafford there, right in front of him when he scored that. And for me, again, that felt like a moment where you say, right, this lad's got potential, but he's got more than potential. Now, I don't think, again, you can maybe compare Hannibal to Kobe, but I think the progression has to be the same, is that you have to have expectations for these boys, but you have to educate them. And I actually think that Hannibal is a really high IQ footballer, even at his age. So he might not make it at Man United, but I'm telling you, he's going to make it somewhere. He absolutely will go somewhere. He will be a footballer. You know, I saw when the ball went in the net on Saturday, Scott, Tedden Mengi scored his goal for Luton. And Tedden Mengi, yeah, didn't make it at Man United. People forget how good Tedden Mengi was at 15, 16, 17. He was absolutely class centre-back. You know, a leader, future captain on Man United. He's going to go and have a career in the Premier League somewhere. Now, we talk about buying players. Could we have developed him and kept him? You know, if Mengi does well at Luton in the years ahead, are we going to go pay 50 million for him? We might do that. We've done that before, haven't we? But I think
I see there was a buyback in that?
I hope so, because I was always really high on Tedden. And I think what I really liked about him was that he was a composed player, a bit like Kobe, in the sense that he could get the ball from the back and he could just wander out with it and no one would get near him because he just ran the game like that. Now, I think he's doing really well at Luton. It's a baptism of fire for him, isn't it? At a club in the relegation zone fighting. But he scores his goal the other day. I was really pleased for him because he's going to make it, yeah? And yet we still talk about these 18-year-olds, like, oh, are they good enough for United? No, are they good enough to be professionals? That's the first thing. And then the next step is, can you develop them into United squad players? I think it's very easy to forget, even years gone by, the John O'Shea's, the Darren Fletcher's, all of these players around the squad at that time, were they good enough to be elite players? Well, they won all the trophies and the medals, and they probably were just Premier League standard, but that's what you need sometimes. You need people that just do a job every week for you. I think Hannibal's got more than that. Like, we talk about the number 10 position quite a lot. I think Hannibal, in years to come, he could give you a kind of differential there behind the attack, because he's got it up here. And I see that, and I've seen it for a long time. Temperament needs to be worked on. You know, he makes too many little fouls, and I think that's what Ten Hag doesn't like. Throwing him in from the start, getting a yellow card after 12 minutes, and then your whole game plan goes to pot. Would I rather see Hannibal play every week than, say, like Fred last year? Completely. I'd rather have a kid that you can develop that's got the intelligence. And guess what, Scott? You didn't pay 50 million quid for them.
They paid about 10 for him a good few years.
He was expensive. Yeah.
He was expensive from Monaco, I think.
But again, from that system coming through the French system, he was another player, a bit like Garnacho, where people saying this boy's going to be like a worldie. He's got that quality. Now, we haven't seen that yet, but I've seen enough to see that he will be a serious professional footballer. So for me, box ticked. You keep that one. Even if you let him go out on loan, say, next year because he's not part of your immediate plans, please don't sell him. Keep him.
Anybody else you want to mention?
Well, I think you mentioned Dan Gore there at the start. I think, again, you have to wait with Dan Gore. I think he's in the growing stage. But again, another technical player who, to me, has got a little bit of the Xavis about him and a bit of the Iniestas. And what I mean by that is that, yes, they're small and diminutive, but it's how you see the game. If you can see the game in slow motion and in an expansive way, you've got a really good chance of becoming a very, very good footballer. So I think Gore is the obvious one. There's other players as well. Like we see, like Fernandes has gone out on loan and one thing or another. There's lots of them, Scott. We could do a whole show on these young players, but there's no expectation for those guys because they're not actually in the first team setup yet. So watch this space. I'm sure we'll be talking about a lot of them in the near future.
Not technically homegrown, but I do think he qualifies as club homegrown. Luke Shaw.
Well, he was like, he was 18 when we bought him, wasn't he?
He was 18, so I think under rules, et cetera, et cetera. I know he's played for Southampton. I know where he came through, this kind of thing. But he is, you have to have these players to meet quotas in European and Premier League football. And Luke Shaw made his return yesterday at left back and just looked, you know.
Looked like Luke Shaw.
United missed him, didn't they?
Do you know what? They missed him, Scott, but they also miss his leadership because I just think he is one of those players that is happy to maybe call out people like on the pitch and off it. You know, he's the one that when United play badly, when they stick a microphone in his face, he's brutal. He's brutal. And you can tell that his standards are massively high. I think he has expectations for himself, but also he looks at his teammates and he holds them to account. I first saw Luke Shaw play for Southampton when he was 17. And again, he was one of those players you saw at that age where you went, yeah, there's something different about this boy. He's got, like, he looks like he's 26 years old and he's 17. Now, we know that he struggled at United for a time when he came to the club. But you have to stick with it sometimes and develop these young boys. So I think when you look at Luke Shaw, really good to have him back. I hope that he helps maybe Marcus Rashford in that left side if Marcus goes back to the left in the weeks ahead. But do you know what? I'm not having Scott. I heard a lot of this yesterday, is that, oh, now Shaw's back, Rashford will be okay. No, it's on Marcus to look after his own form. You know, when the ball bounces off Marcus's foot, that's not Luke Shaw's fault or the left-back's fault. That's his fault. So good to have Luke Shaw back. Good to see him at left-back as well, but I would not be surprised after Victor Lindelof's display yesterday that we see Luke Shaw move inside into a central position in the weeks ahead, because that's definitely an option for Ten Hag now.
I think Lindelof, when did he join? 2015, 2016, was it?
A long time ago.
I think it was 2017.
Mourinho bought him and then benched him for 6 months. So he came for quite a decent fee. Was it from Benfica? Was it?
Benfica.
Was
it? I think he made that. He had a day at Huddersfield, I remember, which sticks out still.
I think I was there. It was horrible. Yeah, like it was like, yeah, it's not really ready. But
yeah. But yes. But as part of the United need to plan, they need to slowly, carefully revamp this squad. And like I say, I think we hinted at the show yesterday. I think there's more than five, Rob. I think there's more than five players that I would keep for the long term. But maybe we'll do that show on another day.
United's five-a-side team.
Yeah. Does Marcus Rashford make it in? Let's talk about Rashy, because it's... You could tell, and I mentioned this on yesterday's show as well, like Bruno gives him the ball for the penalty. Great penalty, really good penalty. Mm-hmm. But that's an isolated, you know, skill. I'm sure he's practiced loads. He's got a pretty good record from the penalty spot as well. But you could tell the way he reacted to the goal, just didn't really, you know, kind of just stood there as the other players came around him. And then they made an effort to push him, like, go and celebrate. You need this. He just doesn't. What is it? I mean, well, we don't want to get too deep into everything, you know, but like the fact of the matter is he's not. You mentioned when the ball bobbles off his ankle or his foot and kind of goes out of play. It does happen occasionally with Rashford. And we know how good he can be when he's on form. It's just a case of staying on form for a prolonged period of time, isn't it?
Completely. And look, Marcus Rashford's got stuff going on off the pitch. We know this, yeah. But I do think that there are levels here about expectations. So if things are happening in your life away from your job that are out of your control or within your control and they're affecting you, your mood, your performances, then as a job and as a business, United have to look at that and make decisions around those things. And how do you help the player? And I think we do live in a culture now, Scott, especially I think here in England, where that is a thing. Like, you know, you look at people's mental health. Can you help? Can you support? And like you just said there with that penalty, you see the United players going to him. He looks like quite sullen and quite melancholy. And they're all like, come on, Marcus, because they want Marcus to help them. They need Marcus Rashford. They know they need him at his very best. But I'm going to say this, right? I get people, a lot of people on Twitter saying to me, oh, Rob, you've got rose-tinted glasses when it comes to the England players. So you're happy to criticise the Bruno Fernandeses, you know, the Victor Lindelofs, the Diogo Dalots, because they're not English. But you won't talk too much about the Sanchos, the Rashfords, et cetera, et cetera. And it's complete nonsense because we talk about it all the time. Marcus Rashford is misperforming and Marcus Rashford is not doing his job. He's not doing his job. Not at the level that we need a player on £350,000 a week to do. So I think you can get real about it. You know, listen to what I'm saying about Marcus here, because this is the truth about him, is that whatever he's got going on away from the pitch, United are rightfully trying to support him through those things. But he's got to turn up, Scott, and be better. And do you know what? If you can't do the job, Scott, what do? Bench. Go to the bench. And sit on the bench. And I tell you what, the bench is the best elixir for some footballers, because suddenly they're like, I now need to go and do this. And I think with Marcus, we saw yesterday that Martial gets pulled and Marcus gets put as a centre forward. I don't actually think that helps him. You know, I don't really think that you have to want Marcus Rashford to be several things. You need him to be one thing. That's Marcus Rashford. But if he can't be that player, then I think sometimes you have to pull him out the firing line. That's where we are with the player at the moment.
Well, in that situation, I think it's a bit needs must, really, given what Rashford can play there, how well you think he does play there. You know, that's up for debate. I know that certain people don't think he's any good in that position. But you got Rasmus Højlund, who's injured, and you got Martial, who, credit to him yesterday. Like, you know, he got his goal, did some good things, won the penalty. But there are times where he just doesn't have that physical ability anymore to protect the ball and, you know, dribble around players and retain it. But the looks of it anyway, there were a few times where he was dispossessed yesterday. But that is the reason why you put Rashford there is because you don't have enough centre forwards, you know, who can take that on. And Rasmus Højlund's not had the best of luck with injuries since he joined. And we know Martial's had so many injuries over the past few years that he just hasn't developed into the player that we hoped he would become.
I get that in that moment, and I totally understand the technical benefit of why Ten Hag's putting Marcus Rashford there. Marcus Rashford as a number nine, every time we've seen him as number nine, Scott, is garbage. He's not good enough. So if he's not good enough in his own position on the left or the right at the moment, I think putting him up top is a kind of false dawn. You had Hugel on the bench, I think, for the game yesterday. I'd have been happier to see a kid, an 18, 19, 20-year-old, who knows the position and plays it, you know, to a relative standard. Yes, he's inexperienced. But you know what you could have done, Scott? You could have very, very easily, in that system United were playing, put Scott McTominay as the nine. You know, like, he can do that. He's played there before. He scored loads of goals for Scotland. He's loving life in the penalty box. So I think this is the whole thing with Marcus Rashford, is that there is this kind of philosophical reliance on Marcus that he doesn't carry very well. Do you know what I mean? I think he's good at certain things. But if you're going to rely on Rashford for everything, I think he's going to struggle more. I think that's where you are with it. So totally understand the tactic, disagree with it, because we're not seeing any productivity from Marcus. Yes, he's fast in a straight line, and that's what you're looking for there, maybe on the counter-attack, and you're looking for that. How many times yesterday on a counter-press, Scott, did Rashi get the ball or was in a position in the forward areas where he just messed it up because he's not switched on here? So for me, it's the manager. The manager has to manage those things. He has to look at that now with Rashford. I've got nothing against Rashford if his form's not there to sit on the bench. So that's my rose-tinted glasses taken off and put to one side, because we've got some good players in our squad. You've just got to use them. Happy to see Bruno play as a false nine. We've never seen that before. But why have we never seen it before? He could do that role. He's got the work rate. So I think with Rashi, jury is out, but he needs to improve quickly, doesn't he? Because if you have a substandard Marcus Rashford, Man United will lose games because of it, because you need that potency in the final third.
The encouraging thing is, I guess, that we were going into yesterday's game talking about league goals and how many that front three, well, the United's entire attack had scored one goal in the Premier League so far this season, I think, before that, but they all scored. So it's amazing what, well, you never know, like a little bit of confidence back in, maybe it'll change things, but United quadrupled their tally from their forward line.
Three goals. And do you know what, Scott, yesterday, I think as well, is it was know-how. So like at least the players that you got, have got there, you talk about Martial, that finish with Martial is a Martial finish, isn't it? Feed it into his feet, let him run at the goalkeeper. And as soon as he was in that space, I was like, goal, it's fine. He's going to dink it. He dinked it. It goes in. Pickford gives him that moment. But I think this is why the whole thing with Hoyland is that you have to take the salt in the wound with some of this stuff. Like he's learning and developing, and you have to play him. And United fans are already on his back saying, oh, he doesn't finish. Like you just mentioned there, the goal record. The goal record this year is horrendous.
He scored five in the Champions League.
He's top scorer in the competition. He's top scorer in the competition. And for me, it's still about the creative elements behind him to help him, for them to teach him to say, look, lad, make that run because we will find you. Martial makes that run, Scott, because he absolutely knows what Bruno Fernandes is going to do. He reads it, you know, 6 seconds before. He knows he just has to make that run. Hoyland is learning that. So I'm happier to go with inexperienced players in those moments because that teaches them what you want from him in the long term.
Right, we'll wrap it there, I think, unless you have anything finally to add, Rob.
No, look, good victory. I think it could have been a very difficult day at the office at Everton after what they've been going through with their deduction. I think now we said you go into this Galatasaray game, it's just a must win. Performance doesn't matter, Scott, in this. Win 1-0 off John O'Shea's backside. Let the ball go in off John O'Shea's backside. Win 1-0. That's all you needed. That was a long time ago. So what would be the equivalent now? 1-0 off Victor Lindelof's backside, maybe. And I win the game and push on in the Champions League.
Yep. We'll be back later this week to reflect on whatever happens in Turkey. But United go to Newcastle next Saturday as well. So they're in the midst of, this is where it begins, the real tough grind of the festive period and all this kind of thing. Games, I know they're coming thick and fast anyway, but you know, there's some important games coming up.
Totally. And look, you know, you just said the Newcastle got a load of injuries. I think Newcastle are showing that you can have lots of injuries and still play decent football. So there's an expectation of a squad, isn't it? Is when you dig deeper into your squad that these players have to come and perform and do it. So I think
Newcastle's foundation is working hard.
Absolutely.
That's where it all comes from.
Completely.
That's where it comes from.
They know they've lost some of their flair, or they've lost some of their talent, but talent doesn't win you games just because you've got talent. It's work, it's technicality, it's how you put it all together. And, you know, credit to Eddie Howe. You know, I look at that game, I'm still worried about it because I say that Newcastle are in better form than Man United. So United, that will be a huge challenge for them. I'm not surprised if they actually bring it against Newcastle though, Scott, because there is that kind of needle between the clubs and, you know, you're competing against them. It's easier to have a bad day at the office against Luton Town than it is against Newcastle.
They need to avenge the defeat they had at home in the League Cup.
Yep.
They also need to stop that rotten run of games away from home against teams in the top half of the table. They need to fix that. And it's one of many things United need to fix. But anyway,
winning fixes everything.
We'll see you later this week, everyone, for another Promised Land pod post Galatasaray. Subscribe wherever you get your pods. Watch us on YouTube, the Promised Land and Man United podcast. Like the video, leave a comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell as well so you never miss a show, and follow us on social media at @_ScottSaunders on X, IG and TikTok, @_Rob_B on X and YouTube, and @PromisandMU on X as well. Have a fantastic week, everyone. Let's hope United can win more matches moving forward, and hopefully some new academy products who can help us along the way. Until next time, everyone, see you soon. It's been the Promised Land.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.